This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Look, I think the best phrase is simple. It ain't working.
The Mark Reardon Show.
All of this woke world that we're living in right now is not working.
Why are you guys bullying me?
Mark Reardon.
See, presidents can't do much.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Inflation is transitory. Afghanistan is a success. The border is secure. Robert Hur is a liar. The videos are cheap fakes. Biden has a cold. He'll never drop out. Oh, I'll never pardon Hunter. It's all a lie. It is all a grift.
Yeah, we had to start with Jennings here on this Monday afternoon because he was on fire last night. Good afternoon, St. Louis. Good afternoon, Mark Reardon Show crew, because we're all back together again for the first time in like 10 days.
8 years.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a month. Yes. It really does.
I am so glad to see you, too. I think Ethan and I both are glad to see you, too. Fred, how was your trip?
Oh, it was great. It was wonderful. I don't want to bore you with all the beautiful
beach
things
stuff
we did.
Ugh,
I told him earlier, I texted him, I said, hey, you're not looking at the ocean on Olive Street, are you, over at City Hall? Because you had, he was sending some pictures. You were in the Cayman Islands.
Right.
Right.
Moving his money around. That's
yeah, exactly.
What I heard.
How did that go? Right. You have a couple of offshore
yeah
accounts now or what?
No, I don't. I should have with all the money we spent on food.
Oh,
but
oh,
know,
was it expensive?
Was it good?
Food, yeah, it's
food
expensive.
Is expensive.
Oh, food was great, but food's expensive.
So
yeah,
what was the highlight of the Cayman Islands? Because you didn't do, did you snorkel?
Did you snorkel with the stingrays?
We went on lots of those trips, snorkeling, you know, kayaking at midnight, all sorts of fun things that we did.
Wait, kayaking at midnight sounds
yeah
like
the
a
ocean
lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's
was
cool.
Good, yeah.
Fred, did you do that or did you watch?
I did all of that.
Okay, good.
I
that's
did all
proud
that
of him.
I'm proud of you, Sue.
Yeah,
that's great.
I was actually bobbing in the ocean.
I love that.
Throwing a ball around with
did
the
sun. Did you get any sun? Did you get any? I'm trying to tell
I
here.
I did.
Was there a
well,
little bit?
I used a lot of sunscreen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you had sunscreen, but that doesn't yeah mean you got any sun.
No, no. I was out. We were out every day. It was
okay
great. It was
right
beautiful.
And then, you know, who else had a very exotic trip? I was just here in St. Louis. I think Sue was too. But Ethan, I haven't seen him in like 3 weeks because
oh,
you had some
it
personal business to take care of,
mm-hmm,
and then you went on your honeymoon
mm-hmm
to Maui, right?
Yes, it was absolutely unbelievable.
That place is amazing, isn't it?
Breathtaking. I now, mean, people have asked, how was it? And I cannot put into words.
Did you go amazing down the, what does Lahaina look like right now? Did you guys go down and look?
You know, there, so we actually stayed on the west part of Lahaina, and better there, that area wasn't affected by the fire. But like the heart of Lahaina, a lot
still
of those
gone,
homes,
right?
It's the debris is gone. They've cleared out a lot of the debris, but it's still a lot of empty lots, and it was chilling going down there. And I mean, and seeing like, man, these were people's homes. Like people were living here a year ago around this time, and then just
charred out
completely.
Yeah.
Lives upturned. So
it was
sad. It was definitely sad.
He took the Ethan took the road to Hana. I said I took the road to Hana. I rode a bike up to the road to Hana one time.
Whoa, that's
15 years ago. I know.
I actually, you know, after finishing that drive, there were multiple times throughout that drive where I was like, "There's no way. There's no way that he did it." I really was questioning.
Well, I was a much
I was struggling
more
to believe
fit,
you.
I was a much more fit person at the time. To be honest with you,
it's not even.
Well, there's
the
some rougher
part.
Terrain,
it's,
right?
It,
yeah.
It is. I mean, even
look, I had a professional cyclist that was a guide at that time. Like he owned a bike shop and he guided me through. I don't know if we covered all the areas that you went through,
sure.
But I did the trek.
Even driving that, I mean, if I would have seen a cyclist, I would have gotten nervous. I would have
white knuckled
it.
There's lots of switchbacks
and
stuff.
There's
right?
a lot of one lane bridges. Right. There's a lot of sharp turns. I mean, I would not feel safe biking that thing. That
I still can't believe I did it. I took up a new hobby over the holiday. Do you guys want to hear about
it? I would.
Do you
like
know
to
about
know.
It yet? Do you know?
Yes,
have you been leaked?
You told me.
What did I tell you?
You
I can't remember what I told you.
I've come across a new hobby. I'm embracing it. I now need a mixer.
Yes.
I am going to be a cookie man.
Yes.
That is what he said.
I bought a mixer. I've never... Here's the thing.
I always buy before testing.
Oh,
see,
yeah. I do.
This is... You know, I'm going to jump in with both feet.
That's
I'm going to
exactly
spend all this
happened.
Money,
yes.
And then I won't care in about 3 weeks.
Well, that very well might be true. Sue's only known me for like 4 years, and
that's
the pattern... You just nailed the pattern completely well.
Yes.
But maybe this time will be a little different. I just got, look, what I've been doing a lot, I've been eating way too many cookies, I'll tell you that. But I get those take and bake things, you know, like the Nestle's, right?
Uh-huh.
And you just take them out of the freezer or the fridge and you put them on and they're okay. I thought, you know what, I'm going to try to do this myself. I'm going to take on a new hobby, right? So I'm looking at mixers last week and I find a mixer that's a little cheaper than the other mixer. And I'm like, let's go for the Cadillac of mixers.
No!
So I went with the kitchen hole, and that thing weighs like 100 pounds.
Listen, I have one, but I'm an actual baker. So
I'm a baker now, too. That's insulting to me, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it right now how much of a baker I am.
Oh, dear.
See,
wait,
look
right
what
now?
I have. I have a... Yeah, right now.
Oh,
I got a
you
tin
have
of
some.
Cookies.
I didn't see that.
So let me tell you what happened, though. So I order the KitchenAid. The KitchenAid comes.
Good
I'm
Lord.
Very excited.
Yes.
I get all my, you know, I got my butter, I got my flour, I got my chocolate chips, my morsels, if you will. I like that word, morsels. And I find a recipe. And I make chocolate chip cookies on Wednesday, I think it
this
was.
This is good. That's a good one. Yes.
It is. Well, there's a learning curve here to baking, I discovered.
Oh, okay.
So the recipe called, I think the recipe called for like a pound of butter. Uh-huh. How many sticks of butter is that?
Well, you've got each one is 8 tablespoons.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to figure out.
16, that would be 2.
No.
In my world.
Tablespoons, none.
Oh, but here's what I do.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to tell you.
Dear.
So I thought it was supposed to be 4 sticks of butter. It was actually supposed to be 2 sticks of butter,
yeah.
Right? So I put in four sticks
my
of butter.
Gosh.
So the cookie, I wasn't thrilled with the cookies. I will tell you, the cookies came out; they weren't my favorite. My son then says, and he's
smart,
the cook, and he says, "Yeah, they were a little buttery." I'm like, "Yeah, because they had twice as much butter,
double as much." That can't, it
no,
won't work
no,
in the cookie
no.
world.
So I was frustrated and I obsessed over it, and all day Thanksgiving, I like. Was very sad that I screwed up the chocolate chip cookies. I'm like, I'm going to give oatmeal a swing of the bat. So
why
Friday,
didn't you just make a new batch with the appropriate
hang
amount?
On. Okay,
hang on.
All right. You're not. We've not gotten to the finale of the story here.
Sue's being very aggressive today.
Yeah. I know she is. She doesn't. She doesn't believe in my hobby.
She's had a week to build up to this.
So I make the oatmeal cookies and no raisins. I went with no raisins.
Good. That's
I'm the only one in the
move.
Family that seemingly
you
likes
could...
oatmeal cookies. And I would give myself the first batch. But I'd give myself a solid B on the oatmeal cookies.
Good,
right?
Okay.
But then I kept obsessing about the chocolate chip failure, Sue. And I found a new recipe. And Saturday, got my mixer out, my KitchenAid, that bad boy. Put my flour, my eggs, if you will, my vanilla, a little cinnamon. Uh-huh. And I created these cookies that I'm about to hand out to everyone in here, except for you, Sue.
I'll
not
eat
because
one.
You're judging
I'm
me.
One.
Not because you're judging me, but because you don't eat sugar.
Yeah,
right?
But I need to judge.
Oh, these are delicious. And Fred, you're looking at me very suspiciously.
No, I'm very
I'm
excited.
Telling you, wait. You're going to be, these are delicious,
we're doing an
ginormous,
on-air, live
beautiful
testing
cookies.
On air.
Sure,
oh,
you can try them on the
great,
air.
Great, Mark.
That's because they are great.
You know, Fred loves a chocolate chip cookie.
Wow.
The recipe that I stole here was from, I think it was from cookingprofessionally.com, which which is a website I use sometimes.
These are huge.
And it was called the Copycat Doubletree Cookies. Okay.
I'm going in.
So these are apparently
like
the cookies that you would get at the Doubletree Hotel. It is good, isn't it?
Delicious.
Like, I give myself an A+ on these. I was very happy.
Yeah,
now,
these are good.
I will say, if I have to micromanage my baking, the distribution of the chocolate chips perhaps not as equitable as I would like, but I had a lot of stuff going in that mixer, that KitchenAid, man. I had to power that thing up to like level 4 just to get this batter to go around. Then I chilled the batter. That was the key, and made those beautiful cookies.
And they
last
are
night.
Great.
How about that, huh?
This very is really good. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I came in with no doubt. I wasn't asking for you to tell. I knew how good they were, Fred.
He was
but no, it was.
Material.
But, so then the question becomes, Sue, will I bake again in the next few, I don't know, years?
Well, I'm going to say you're going to do it twice.
You should.
Two or three times.
In the next few years.
Yeah.
I justified the KitchenAid because I thought, this is my entertainment. This is a new hobby that I have, right?
Uh-huh.
So I do have some plans to make more things, but that was just part of Thanksgiving. We had a good time. I had the grandchild in town.
Mark!
Should have probably led with that, not the cookies, but we led with the cookies. But Idris was here from last Monday until Friday. We had a great time with Evan and his girlfriend Natalie, and my son from Chicago was here. So it was a good Thanksgiving.
You can make Christmas cookies.
No, I will.
Alexa can decorate.
Sue, I'm telling you, I'm kind of into this right now. I'm going to do it. And the mixer has changed my, it's changed my world.
Is it big?
Oh, yeah.
Is it heavy?
It looks like a, it's really heavy. It looks like a sewing machine.
Did you get the artisan? Did you get the artisan one? That's just a certain kind of.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's just black. I went with black.
Artisan is just a certain kind of KitchenAid, but
whatever
sounds more
Zito,
expensive.
No,
whenever Selena Zito does her interviews on Fox, in the back, she's always in her kitchen. In the background is her KitchenAid, which is
really
everyone sees it and they ask her what she's cooking.
Another bonding point with Selena,
exactly.
Next time.
Right, as if we've not bonded enough. But see, this is something common ground here. I was texting some of these pictures to Jane Duker. Of course, she's a cake decorator. She said, "Wait till you get to cakes." I realized that I'm taking my man card away from myself this afternoon. Gentlemen, but I had a good time with baking.
Some of the best bakers are guys.
You said you were with the grandbaby. How was that?
Well, he was great. He really is a good baby. I took a couple of the mornings, got up early, and did the feedings. On Thanksgiving morning, everything was going well, and you could tell when these babies need to nap, right? And they fight. Like, we, as adults, we're like, we don't want to fight a nap. We're going to take a nap. But babies like to fight naps. And I put him in the car, and nothing's open on Thanksgiving morning. I just kind of drove a circle around, I don't know. I went out to 141, then I went to Bowles, and I circled back to Gravway, and then I came back to my house. And he fell asleep, like, within 3 minutes. So I get him back in the house. And put the car seat down by the fireplace so he's nice and warm. And then I'm looking at him. I'm like, you know, dude, you seem a little uncomfortable with those straps on from the car seat. So I tried to undo those, and then he woke up. And then, you know. But still,
rusty.
It was
rusty,
a great time.
Mark.
Now, we also had another interesting event that happened twice during the weekend. We had done a bunch of the Christmas decorations. We have a wreath on the front of the house. You know, it's almost like I need a new sounder for this. It's not an insect update. This is a bird update. We open the front door, bird flies into the house.
Oh.
This was on Wednesday night. Ooh.
What kind? Was it a sparrow or a...
A little sparrowy looking. I'm not sure. But this is the second time it's happened. It happened with a cardinal many years ago. It took a little while. If you really look closely at my ceiling, you could probably see some feathers up there from that cardinal. I'm not going to lie about this. But this thing gets in. We don't know what to do. The cats are going crazy. And it ends up in my, I don't even know how this happened. It ended up in my master bathroom. I'm sorry, primary bathroom. Oh my God, I'm on trigger. And then, who was it? I think it was Aiden's girlfriend said something about seeing somebody do something with a sheet. I'm like, because I didn't have a net or anything like that. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. So Evan and I went to the bathroom. I stood up on the counter and I kind of threw the sheet over this bird.
Yeah, that's great.
And
no?
It worked.
Yeah.
No, it did
that's
work.
That's how it worked.
So, you know, I kept him. We're very gentle. And then he flew out.
Good.
We got rid of him. Stupid bird came back in the house the next day. It was probably the same bird, don't you think?
Oh, my God.
So then he goes into the laundry room and we went out to the garage right from the laundry room and then he got out of there. He hasn't done it since. But I'm telling you, it was probably the same bird, right?
Probably came back in looking for that sheet again.
A little bit chilly outside right now. He's just trying to warm up.
Well, I could have just put three cats in the bathroom and seen how that turned out the next morning, but I decided to get rid of the bird. All right, so we're all back together here. We're off and running. Somebody is going to have to share a sheet with me because apparently I forgot that. Fred, do you have one of those?
Yep.
The Hunter Biden story, the big, obviously the big story of the day. We're going to get to plenty of that. We have Paul Morrow coming up. Danny Penny's case went to closing arguments. I think they're still in right. closing arguments this afternoon. So we're going to have the very latest on that. We'll have Sue's News, of course, on a Monday in the next hour. Our friend Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago, Cusimano this afternoon. Fred, were you able to pay attention to sports? Ethan, I know you did, but it was a crazy sports week. It really was.
I did not. I didn't have the TV on for seven straight days.
That's nice.
How about Mizzou winning in a very thrilling fashion in a game that most of the country paid no attention to because all the other SEC teams were getting attention? There was the Friday night, you were probably still down in the Cayman Islands, but this 8-overtime game between Georgia and Georgia
Unbelievable.
Tech. Well, and that was pretty thrilling until about the third overtime,
wow.
because then it was like, just get this thing over with.
Right.
Do you know how they do the rules now? So here's what happens. You do the you get to 20 or 25-yard line?
You start at the 25-yard line, and each team gets an opportunity to score. After two overtimes, it switches to...
You have to go for 2 points.
You have to go for two in the third overtime.
Right.
If it's still tied after that, it just in the fourth overtime, it switches to just 2-point conversions,
right.
one play from the 3-yard line.
Good grief.
So went back and forth on
that.
Yeah, right. That's what was different about it. So it did get, like, I have one eye open the other night trying to get to sleep, and it was kind of annoying because it was exciting, but at the same time, like, okay, somebody win this game.
There was so much buildup each time, like, is this going to be the one? And then, next one.
Exactly.
It was exciting.
But we will talk about all that with Cusimano this afternoon as well on a Monday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Hang in there. It's all coming up.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've gotten to the point where we're now redefining the word lie because there's a lot of folks trying to make the case that, no, Joe Biden wasn't lying when he said he wouldn't pardon his son. Listen to the team on The View this morning.
The only reason that Hunter Biden was gone after and charged, indicted, and found guilty was because his name wasn't Joe Smith, it was Hunter Biden. And that's the truth of it.
Imagine the guilt that Joe Biden has to live with, thinking that his son, his only surviving son, is getting prosecuted because he is his son.
He's the president, the sitting president, and he can do whatever he wants to until his time is up.
Wait a second. I thought that was a threat to democracy. Whoopi, are you kidding me? They flipped on everything here. Paul Morrow is with us this afternoon from Fox News and the founder of the opsdesk.org. Paul, how are you? It's an interesting moment with the team on The View and on CNN and everyone else considering this this pardon right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, if you're going to gaslight this strenuously, You got to have the raw material to work with. And this is a tough one for them because it's very hard for them not to sound idiotic here because it's just so demonstrably false. You know, when they try to compare it to pardons that Donald Trump has issued, they just completely elide the fact that Donald Trump never promised otherwise, unlike this president who promised the exact opposite numerous times. And the idea that nobody goes to jail for tax crimes is ridiculous. Of course they do.
Well, the other thing is that, and I think one of the first voices there was Sonny Hostin, they get it absolutely wrong. You know, the reason that there's some element of truth here that he got treatment because his name was Biden, but he got better treatment, not worse treatment. He got a better deal because they let the statute of limitations run out. So the notion that this was somehow a political prosecution, when a judge finally sits down, looks at this plea deal and says, I've never seen anything that is this much of a sweetheart deal. And they go back in and they try to prosecute him properly and to no avail because he gets pardoned. But I guess we shouldn't really be surprised.
No, we shouldn't. First of all, hats off to three people here. First of all, the two whistleblowers who came forward at great personal risk because they were doxxed, they were dragged over the coals, but they were right. And then, of course, Judge Norica. In my estimation, she's the person who really saved the day here because, to your point, not only had they let the more serious charges expire, he was undercharged to begin with.
Right.
At the least, under this set of facts, I love how they say, oh, you know, he would never would have been charged if his name wasn't Biden. Were his name not Biden under this set of facts, this would have been a major national security case, likely an espionage case. And at the very least, he would have been looking at a FARA charge, being an unregistered agent of a foreign power. In his case, numerous foreign powers. And likely what would have happened, and, you know, I worked in this space a little more in counterterrorism, but, you know, you would bump into the FARA charge. It's a very good lever because it has real teeth. And essentially you're saying, look, you're a spy and we caught you. You are a version of a spy. And what an ugly situation to have the president's son charged essentially for a spying charge. And then in the real world, what would have happened is somebody who's not a Biden would have likely have been flipped. That would have been your currency to play, which is, okay, I'll tell you everything that's been going on. I'll tell you who the players are in China, in Ukraine that I've been dealing with, in Romania and elsewhere. And for that information, go soft on me. But they never even charged Farrow.
You know, you mentioned the whistleblowers. I'm going to have Congressman Jason Smith on, of course, from Missouri. He's the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. He was very involved in those hearings, very involved with, you know, Jim Comer on the whistleblowers. And just you mentioning that, Paul, brings me back to those moments of them testifying, which should have been a much bigger story. I mean, if we're being honest, we go back in time, that was almost treated by, you know, our friends in the legacy media, the rest of the media, as something that was somewhat a right-wing conspiracy, when these guys were actually exposing the truth.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing. The left loves whistleblowers. In general, I mean, that's a real sort of favorite son of theirs. And they love that whole concept. There's all kinds of protections for it. And yet, when it came to this, it was, you know, move along here and nothing to see. They have firsthand knowledge. And that should have been a much bigger deal. And as I said, in any other context, this would have been, at the very least, a FARA charge. It would have been brought much quicker. All those charges would have been preserved. And again, irrespective of prison, the reason to go forward on something like that is for the leverage that you can find out who you've been dealing with and why. Why? What did they want from you? What was in exchange? You know, this idea that somehow or other they were all just so taken with Hunter Biden's business acumen. You know, Hunter himself admitted in that interview that he gave, that quite irresponsible interview in my estimation, where he said, well, they asked him outright, do you think that they did it because your last name is Biden? And he was forced to admit yes. Not a great moment for him. Very ill-advised. So, you know, I think that I think the public, this is one that they can't gaslight away. They don't have the raw material. Everybody sees the hypocrisy. One thing about the internet, these things are forever. The clips of both Joe Biden and KJP and everybody else saying that'll never happen are just brutal.
I have a lot of that audio, and I'm going to share it throughout the afternoon. But let's just for a moment talk about this president's legacy, which has already been stained before, you know, last night when he issues this pardon. But what is that? Is there a positive aspect of the legacy at this point? I don't think there's anything. Is there?
No, I don't think he can be salvaged. I really don't. Even the mainstream media who, you know, they put out these things about him being one of the great presidents and everything else. I mean, how at this point can we ignore the fact that he won't do any public appearances? He did exactly one cabinet meeting in the last year or so, and it might even be longer, of his presidency, and his wife ran it. I mean, that was really the reason that, you know, they had to get rid of him, was because he just was so exposed in that debate. And then there's something else, too, which you don't hear a whole lot about. And that is the fact that one of the reasons that Hunter had to be pardoned, he had to, is to protect the enterprise. Because Hunter is a notorious brat. I've read the texts that came out that were part of this case that were dumped into the case file in the federal PACER system during the case against him before Judge Noriega threw out that ludicrous plea deal. And he has a lot of bitterness towards his family. He has a lot of bitterness towards his uncle. He really has seemed to have convinced himself that he was the earner for all of these people, and that they were all taking advantage of him. Gives you some, you know, measure of how solipsistic his worldview is. And so, if he was looking at going to jail, he felt abandoned already. If he thought he was going to jail, remember he yelled at Judge Noriega when she asked him, when they revised the plea deal right in court, she asked him, do you accept this? He yelled no, like very petulantly. Had he been looking at real jail time, capable of anything. And I think that if right now, you know, somebody like James Biden is sleeping a lot better because they could not afford that eventuality.
So let's shift Paul Morrow to the Danny Penny trial, which I think is still in closing arguments right now. This was some audio that was released today. I guess they're using for the jury. It's a little hard to hear on the radio, but I'm going to try here. Witnesses in the immediate aftermath of this incident.
I looked at him, right? And then he started taking off his sweater, the car, and then he threw it. And he told, like, everyone that he had, like, a rough day and that he don't care what happens today.
So there is more than enough reasonable doubt. I don't even know why this case is continuing, but I've still heard, and I don't know where you think this is going to go. Is it going to be a hung jury? Is it going to be something else? I can't even believe the guy's on trial right now, especially considering everything else we just talked about with Hunter Biden. You juxtapose those, and there's an interesting moment.
Yeah, it normally would not have. Other prosecutors that we've had here in the city, some of whom were, not exactly, hard charges, but nonetheless, I think would have passed this one over. And in fact, remember something, the police didn't arrest Daniel Penny. At the scene, they got that kind of witness statement, including significantly worse, people saying, thank God that guy was there. There is a black female who is on body camera saying he wasn't holding him very tight. He was just kind of trying to restrain him. We all thanked him, et cetera. And yet the case was brought because the police heard all of that, let it go, did not arrest him then, and kicked the whole thing over to the prosecutor for potential presentation to the grand jury. And then in a 10-day period, of course, it all got politicized and racialized here in the city by all of the usual suspects. And as a result, City Hall buckled and ordered Daniel Penny arrested, and it never even got to the grand jury. And I say City Hall because that's who would have had to give the order, because the NYPD detective squad went out and made the arrest.
Hmm. So at this point, I mean, this guy's not going to be convicted, is he?
Say it again?
He's not going to be convicted, is he?
Oh, convicted. You know, I have gone with hung jury. That's where I have been leaning, just because it is Manhattan. Let's remember that we were all almost equally as incredulous before the 34-count Alvin Bragg case went to trial, because all the talking heads, including someone on the left, said the theory of this case is incomprehensible, makes no sense. Of course you should have reasonable doubt. And what happens? Fast conviction, which I did call. And we're telling people, manage your expectations. This is Manhattan.
Yeah.
I say the same thing now. That said, this one's a little different because you got 12 people, all of whom, I've stated they ride the subways. And that means they've all had this kind of an experience. So the evidence, of course, mitigates in favor of what you're proposing. But it is Manhattan. This is the borough that went most vehemently for Joe Biden and has been voting Democratic for God knows how long, I think at least since Reagan. And as a result, I don't think you're going to get an acquittal. I hope I'm wrong. If I had a guess, I think we have a maybe to the end of the week or so, some strenuous deliberations, and then you're going to start to see notes come out saying we're hopelessly deadlocked.
I hope you're wrong about that. I'm going to have some faith in my fellow humanity here, because I think that this is a jury. I'm going to probably be wrong here, Paul. You know New York a lot better than I, but I
hope
think this
you're
is
right,
a jury
man.
That is going to look at the facts of this and say this is ridiculous that this guy was even on trial. So we'll see where that takes us. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, Paul Morrow?
I did. I'm still recovering from it, put it that way.
Did you have any conversations nice. With your family about President Biden pardoning anybody?
No. You know what? I mean, those conversations were had a long time ago, and everybody, like I said, a blind man can see this one coming. So,
But in all seriousness, though, can you – this will never be told, but would you not have loved to have been a fly on the wall? I agree with you that this was planned long in advance, but I bet there were some interesting conversations around the turkey and the stuffing this weekend at that house.
Oh, God, help us. I mean, you know, he does it, of course, when he's off to Angola. And, I mean, God, you know, that's like a strenuous trip. He's going all the way to Africa. He's seen a couple of countries. This poor guy, I mean, I actually have gotten to the point where I really resent how they're treating Joe Biden, you know, and it really makes to me
Jill. Well, his family, yeah, his family should be ashamed of themselves.
Situation. They really should. And, you know, so, sorry, get him over to Africa. We'll drop the We'll drop the pardon, let KJP, you know, deal with the fangs that are going to come out, and even the progressive press. And, you know, we'll do what we always do with Joe Biden, which is hide him.
Yeah,
and I think
here.
It's really gotten to the point where it's anything but a failed presidency.
Paul Morrow, awesome to have you on this Monday. I'm glad you had a great Thanksgiving. We will talk soon. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
I got a great crime story for you, Sue Thomas, to recap. It's like an episode. It should be an episode of Dateline. Maybe it will. We'll get into that coming up next. I feel like I have so much stuff here on this Monday, Sue, because we've been off as a team for about 10 days. You were here for a few days last week, but Fred and I were gone. And there are, you know, I don't know. I think I've said this before. When I'm on vacation, or especially on a holiday week like that, I kind of dip out. And I, in the morning, where I'm monitoring Fox and stuff like that, I was, you know, watching ESPN and things along those lines. But every once in a while, I found a story. Now, you know, before I left, you might remember I sent Becky and Alexa to the screening of Wicked.
Yes.
I dipped out on that Sunday. It was a Sunday afternoon. I was just coming off deer hunting, and I do want to see the film, but it was 2 hours and 40 minutes. Sent them. They loved it, right? It had a huge, huge opening last week. I've heard nothing but good things from people who have seen it. I still have not seen it. But then I saw this this morning. And, you know, there are things that come up in the news on a regular basis, whether it's in your feed on social media or here on 97.1 FM Talk or Fox, wherever you get your news, that, you know, I honestly think to myself, am I being punked? What am I missing here? And this has to, maybe we should play a little Defying Gravity as we get into this here a little bit, because... And I will admit that I've listened to the soundtrack even on my own in my car, because I do like the music. But look, they have a trigger warning in England. The this is real,
in
apparently.
England. Okay.
The British Board of Film Classification, which is the BBFC, has issued a warning because it highlights scenes of discrimination against characters with green skin as potentially upsetting. The warning focuses on Elphaba, the central character, who faces bullying and mistreatment due to her green skin. So the BBFC noted that those depictions, especially when her skin color is used to ostracize her, Sue, may be upsetting and poignant for some audiences, especially those that have green skin.
Because
would be the people that would be most...
Right.
I don't really know. It's unbelievable. The story says that the guidelines in England... And this is the kind, by the way, this is the kind of stuff that the administration that is in our White House in this country right now, they would love for stuff like this. This is all about, you know, woke trigger warnings, right? They mandate clear disapproval of discriminatory behavior within the narrative. So I guess one of the stories says in 2021, they did some research. They found that parents appreciate the content warnings for sensitive themes such as racism and discrimination to make, you know, more informed choices. I had to read a couple of these twice. I actually saw some people this morning that were defending this as the defense was, you know what? You guys are making a big deal out of this. It's not a big deal. And if it saves some kid from, you know, because there's a character in a wheelchair in this also. So if it saves some handicapped green kid, I suppose it would have to be, well, then it's worth it. There are people out there that feel that way. These are the same people that feel that Joe Biden and the rest of the mainstream media and KGP didn't, you know, lie about the pardon also. Let's keep that in mind. Mm. And I found this story over the break that I loved, and I thought you would love it too, and I'm going to share it here. This is about something that happened in 1980 in Georgia. Charles and Catherine Romer are their names, and they were very wealthy, apparently. They had a home in Scarsdale, New York, but they would go down to Bal Harbour, Florida, every year to take advantage of the warm weather. You would probably argue that the Romers were far ahead of their time, because now more and more people do that, right?
Right.
So they're in their 70s when all this happened in 1980. They have a Lincoln Continental, black Lincoln Continental. They head north in early April, so they leave Florida just after Easter. But after a long day of driving, they stop in Brunswick, Georgia, at a Holiday Inn. They check into their room, they unpack everything, and after that, they're never, ever heard from again. The next morning, a housekeeper let herself inside the room to straighten up, and she sees a book. There's a novel there. There's glasses next to the bed. There's some clothes in the closet. There's a bottle of scotch. There's actually some tax forms on a desk. And after a few days, the hotel staff's like, oh, they're not coming back.
You know, and the car's gone, I guess.
The car's gone, right. So they have not been in that room, and nobody is around. No sign of them. So they were both on their second marriages. They had only been married for 6 years. Charles was a retired oil executive. He had two sons, Charles Jr. and Richard. And Catherine had worked as a stenographer. And she met someone who was her ex-husband. They had a son. They ran in the same social circles. They say Charles Romer Jr., his son, said that he last heard from his father and stepmother on Easter Sunday of that year. Remember, they took off on Easter Sunday, right? But then he doesn't hear from them. Now, you know, you'd have to think back then. We didn't have cell phones. There's no texting and stuff like that.
We can't ping. We can't ping their cell phones.
They don't answer his phone calls when he thinks they should be back in New York. So he tries the hotel that they were planning on visiting. He tries to track the route home. The police are involved. The cops at the time call this the biggest all-out search in the history of Southern Georgia. They look everywhere for this couple. They are never, ever found. Over the decades, there are people that are speculating. Was it a freak accident? They were older. Did they run off the road into the water? This is an area, Brunswick in Glynn County, Georgia, has over 400 square miles of coastline and marshland and timber and stuff like that. That's according to a cop that was involved in the case. But then they had people that thought, well, maybe they were targeted. They were a lot of money. They were worth a lot of money. They weren't shy about showing off their wealth. They had a new car, you know, the Lincoln Continental. They had a new custom license plate. And she apparently, Catherine, wore hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry.
What?
So they were really, really rich.
Ostentatious.
So they had different stories. You know, when this happens, people are sharing stories. Someone said they saw them interacting with another couple outside the hotel room. That might have been true, might not have been true. Somebody said that they talked to them at a local business. But then there was a person that said that they were almost run off the road by a black Lincoln Continental the night that the couple disappeared. Mm. Now, all that information was in the hands of authorities back there in 1980. But last week, they had something called Florida's Sunshine State Sonar Team, which helps find missing people in bodies of water. They find a Lincoln Continental in a pond off New Jessup Highway near the Royal Inn Hotel, which was the Holiday Inn in Glynn County, Georgia.
Oh, my gosh.
The car matches the one that the roamers were driving. They found human remains. They have now, when I found this story last week, they did not confirm that the human remains were the roamers, but in fact, it was the roamers.
Oh,
and a mystery from all that time has now been solved.
Well, but here's what we don't know. Was it an accident? Did somebody get in the car and drive them in there and rob them?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, I don't know. I'm going to look at a different version of the story here because the family issued a statement, you know, very happy that they've, you know, had some closure to this for the first time.
Oh, can you imagine?
All these years. But I'm trying to see, you know, what's happening here. So I'm trying to find more information, but I'm meeting the paywall on the TV from that area. Let's see here.
That's really interesting. Because if somebody did rob them, was in the car, and then drove them in afterwards and took off with the money, that's one thing. Was it an accident? They went off the roadway. Was it some sort of suicide thing? I'm thinking not that.
So they said that the team of divers found a rusting, deteriorating remains of the 79 Lincoln, which was the car that they had. They found a human bone. It just says, the way the story is written, is they found one bone inside the vehicle.
It's a lot of years in water.
It is a lot. Look, the guy who is the crime expert said the rust, corrosion, all kinds of bacteria that's going to develop on that car, trying to clean stuff up. If you can find something, it's going to be difficult. But apparently they did get confirmation, and they have given the family some closure. But again, to your point, I don't think that they know exactly what happened here. They say that one person thought at the time, one of the divers, this is interesting. Okay, here's a theory. One of the divers tells a local reporter that perhaps the couple accidentally put the car in reverse and drove into the pond, indicating it might have been a tragic accident. Look, there was, you know, alcohol in the room. Mr. Rummer could have been a little disoriented. You don't know what could have happened.
That's a heavy car.
Yeah. Oh, that thing is a boat, right?
So for them to try to get out, boy, that's really interesting.
Anyway, I like that just because we like true crime stories, right?
And if you're a relative, all these years you're going, maybe they are alive. Maybe they just decided to disappear and went to Europe. I mean, you don't know.
Well, it's true because those were theories that were tossed around
at the time.
Because they thought, well, maybe they were targeted or, you know, somebody stole all the jewelry. It'd be interesting if the divers found any of the jewelry.
Exactly.
They only found one bone. I guess that means things just drift away over time if you're sitting in a car. Right. Yeah, that's 40 years. But a fascinating story. All right, we're going to break here for the top of the hour. When we return, Sue will have a Monday edition of Sue's News. You know, one of the things we have to talk about Fred with is he was over in the Cayman Islands, which is a British territory, and he claims that, and I've never done this before. I've been in England. I've been in countries where, you know, they drive on the right side of the road. Fred actually did it.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
I think so, but I can't remember. I'll look it up.
I think it would kind of freak me out. You know?
Yeah, but it would take a minute, and then you'd be okay. I remember driving around and around and around. I couldn't get off a roundabout one time, and That was in
Well, having the
Italy,
steering wheel on the other side of the car.
I can't remember where the steering wheel
was. Well, but that would give you some, you know, that changes things from
yes.
the very get-go. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We got Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago coming up. Good friend when it comes to politics. Cusumano, I haven't talked to him in a little while. Wild college football weekend. The Chiefs win. The Blues have a new head coach, Sue.
Yeah,
I don't know if you followed that story. We got Brad Young coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And then Congressman Jason Smith, who is the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. He'll have plenty to say on the Hunter Biden pardon, and we'll talk a little tax policy with him as well. It's all coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.